Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Listen, if Mel Kiper is ready, I'm ready. That's all I need. I just need Kiper. That's it. If Mel Kiper's got his mock draft up ready and ready to go, then I'm going to be ready too. That's coming up tomorrow, by the way. And we're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft and specifically what the Los Angeles Rams, what they're going to look to do. Rich Hammond, staff editor and Rams beat writer for The Athletic. He'll come on in a little bit. But this is how I want to start the show. So here we are today, just kind of getting ready to talk about tomorrow and figuring out what the Chargers are going to do with their number six pick, what the Rams are going to do with their two second-round picks that they have, and really just all the people. They have two third-rounders as well. It's an important draft for both of these franchises. But how can I not start the show without getting kind of a pulse of how Dodger feels, how Dodger fans feel today or feel tonight? How do Dodger fans feel specifically about the MLB suspending the Red Sox replay operator, docks them a second rounder, and Cora suspended for conduct with the Astros that had nothing to do with the Boston Red Sox, supposedly. So I do want to start off the show just talking a little bit about Major League Baseball. And I think so often, you know, we look at some of these franchises, we look at some of these leagues, and I think we could talk positively about certain leagues, and there's some leagues that, okay, maybe black eye, that's too much of a image to give them. But when I think of Major League Baseball right now, I don't trust them. You know, like I don't know how else you want me to put it. I'm going to first just kind of read off the decision that went down with Major League Baseball. And the reason why this is big, by the way, this is a big deal, not just because it's in LA and the Dodgers were in the World Series in 2017 and they were in the World Series in 2018. And both of those franchises that ended up winning World Series and stopped the Dodgers from winning their first World Series since 1988. It's big for those reasons, but it's also big because I think there's a growing mistrust when it comes to baseball. So before I get into that, so JT Watkins suspended without pay through 2020. Who the hell is JT Watkins? By the way, who cares who JT Watkins is? He's a replay operator. Rob Manfred, who is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I put up a tweet a little bit earlier. Do you trust the MLB? At Alan Sliwa. And you could give me your reasons why you do or why you don't. I'm already assuming a lot of people are going to say, no, they don't trust them. But I do want to read off some of those tweets and the reasons why. But Manfred wrote in his report that Watkins, I'm going to go back to this, a replay operator on at least some occasions during the 2018 regular season, utilized the game feeds in the replay room in violation of MLB regulations to revise sign sequence information that he had permissibly provided to players prior to the game. Manfred found Boston's conduct far less egregious than that of the Astros, noting, unlike the Houston Astros in 2017, conduct in which players communicated to be batter from the dugout area in real time the precise type of pitch about to be thrown, Watkins' conduct, by its very nature, was far more limited in scope and impact. Manfred wrote in his report, did not believe Cora was aware of Watkins' actions. So let me just put the information out there. Maybe somebody hasn't got a chance to read the article yet or anything like that. What bothers me most about Major League Baseball, and I'll isolate just this incident with the Boston Red Sox. You know when you feel like you're being lied to? You know when you feel like there's certain people in life that you just know, hey, I could trust that person. And you've got a lot of examples of why you could trust that colleague, or you could trust that family member, or you could trust that friend. And then you have certain people in life where you're a little bit more, maybe suspicious is the right word, or maybe you don't always give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think with Major League Baseball, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. So you had this whole investigation go on. And what you ended up figuring out is that the replay operator will be suspended without pay through 2020. And you claim nobody else knew about it. Whatever that he did, look, I don't even, to be completely honest, whatever the crime is, I'm not even paying that much attention to it. The Red Sox had a squad in 2018. I think most people would say that was the best team in Major League Baseball, and it's different maybe with the Astros, but here's the bottom line. Somebody cheated, and you're putting out there that the replay operator is the reason and the only reason why the Red Sox cheated. That maybe it was just 20% of the time if somebody was on second. I think 19% was the percentage Rob Manfred used. 19% of the time would be the scenario that would play out that they would have some kind of an advantage. You're not blaming any of the players. Of course, why would you blame the players? We already learned from the Houston Astros they're not going to blame the players, right? You're also not blaming any of the front office. So basically the entire Boston Red Sox organization can all walk away. The only thing they were docked was a second rounder. They can all walk away completely clean slate. And you're just going to throw all the blame on JT Watkins, who, I'll go back to this, is a replay operator for the Boston Red Sox. Like, how stupid does baseball think we are? How stupid does baseball think fans are? Or they just don't care. You know, maybe they know there's an incredible amount of educated fans out there, but maybe they think, you know what, it's all good. Even if they do know, we don't care. Because it's different for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's different for Dodger fans. But this is my issue. My biggest issue is I don't trust the sport. You know, I don't trust the commissioner. I don't trust Major League Baseball. And by the way, why should I trust them? That is the biggest crock of you know what to try and sell, to try and make this sell that the corporate or the culprit is a replay operator. If it wasn't for former Astro Mike Fiers, Major League Baseball, and I don't think this investigation about the Astros would have ever came up. And by the way, did it not only finally come out and then they had to do an investigation, but they just continued losing trust because everybody, whether they were a fan of the Dodgers or they were just a fan of sports or they were just in general, they could tell right from wrong. Major League Baseball decided, you know what? Those championships that the Astros got in 2017, which, by the way, they got it, not only beating the Yankees to get to the World Series, but then getting to the World Series and having to go 7 games against the Los Angeles Dodgers to win. And it is proven and known that they cheated that entire year and part of 2018. And why would they stop if you're not getting caught? Of course, they're going to keep doing it. They won a World Series because they cheated. And the hand slap was, okay, your manager and your GM is gone. That's it. So they still get the championships. They still get the rings. That banner's still going to hang at Minute Maid Park. I just don't trust Major League Baseball. That's the best way I can put it. When I start comparing some of these other leagues, so I look at the NBA and I look at Adam Silver, I feel like he's done enough where I can prove him or I could trust him as a commissioner that he's got the best interests of everybody. He can kind of balance, okay, I know I got to take care of the owners. I know I got to take care of the fans, and I know I got to make sure that the players are happy. I have trust over Adam Silver, and it's not because of one instance. It's just multiple things over time. I have less trust in Roger Goodell in the NFL. I genuinely think they don't care about the health of the players, and it's all about the bottom line, right? That's my opinion there, and I think there's enough examples there where I can make that case. With baseball and with Rob Manfred, at least – you know, all I got to do is look at these last 3 months. And in these last 3 months with Major League Baseball, I don't think they care. You know what's most unfortunate about it? The Dodgers and Dodger fans didn't just lose to the Astros and the Red Sox in the World Series. They lost to two franchises that cheated their way to rings. But I'm going to kind of continue this. I honestly don't believe Major League Baseball cares. And you know what's probably going to happen? Here's the reality of what's going to happen. I'm spending a lot of time tonight. You know, I'm starting off my show doing this. But this is the unfortunate thing of what's going to end up happening. I'm upset. You're upset. Everyone's upset. But what's going to happen in a week? What's going to happen in 2 weeks? This will kind of die down the road. We'll talk about it less and less. But the Astros will still have their ring. The Red Sox will have their ring, and baseball will still, you know, continue to roll. But the one thing I guess they can never get back is they can't get a consumer's trust back, because I might not be the biggest, you know, baseball fan in Los Angeles. I know there are I just know how passionate Dodger fans are in Southern California. You got screwed. You know, that's the best way I could put it. You got screwed. And I think baseball is getting screwed. And I think fans are getting screwed as well in the process. They're putting the blame on a replay operator, and they're saying nobody else in the organization had anything to do with it. How stupid do they think fans are? I'm sorry, but when I read that one today, I'm like, I got to start the show with that. And we have plenty of time. I'll talk basketball. I'm going to have, you know, enjoy talking about the Rams, the NFL draft, and all that stuff. But, I mean, if you're a Dodger fan right now, you got to feel a certain way about baseball. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. We try to take as many calls as we possibly can on the show. That's one of the great things of doing a solo show, is you can interact with listeners. So if you're on the road right now, you're listening on the app, I'll ask Dodger fans out there, how do you feel about today's news on the Red Sox? Do you trust Major League Baseball? You can hit me on Twitter, or you can call into the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. All right, attention business owners. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many businesses have insurance to cover for their business interruption, but their insurance carriers are wrongfully denying their claims. It's great, you know, to do these ads, because I think there's a lot of small businesses out there, excuse me, that don't know about this, and they're not sure how insurance carriers work, or they have no idea that this COVID-19 pandemic, maybe there are ways that they can get help. Well, this is where the attorneys at the Wallace firm, led by Brad Wallace, this is where they're stepping in. And they're trying to help businesses in our community. They're already fighting on behalf of schools, gyms, restaurants, bars, doctors, lawyers. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. The Wallace firm can help you. I'll give you guys a phone number, and this is why you call if it applies to you. They're offering a free consultation and review of your insurance policy to see if you're eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue. I'll give you the phone number here, 844-844-WINS, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. I'll put it on my credit card. Just put it on the credit card. No need to stack anything up. So in the background right now, so I didn't know this game was on. I had it on news. Ireland mentioned during crosstalk that Lakers are playing the Celtics. This is 2008. And, you know, Laker fans are probably out there saying, Al, why would you do this yourself? Why are you watching the game? Listen, Laker fans, sometimes we got to watch the losses to appreciate the wins that much more. Okay, so we lost to the Celtics in 2008. What happened in 2009 and 2010? So we'll take the loss. But it's kind of funny. There are a lot of these games when your team loses, you never, typically, you never watch the games. But I got this one on in the background. So here's what I was mentioning here before we went to break. Not just the Dodgers got screwed. Baseball got screwed. You know, sports fans in general, I think, just got screwed. I'm not saying that the Red Sox, by no means am I sitting here saying, oh, you know what, the Red Sox, everyone, you should have been suspending players and you should have taken down their World Series trophy or their banners. I'm not saying that. I actually don't even care about that. I just think it's so disrespectful when you come out and you say that after this entire investigation, what you came back with is the replay operator, JT Watkins, what is he, 30, 31 years old, suspended without pay through 2020. And the Red Sox lost a second rounder. Let me throw that in there too. Oh, man, what a – I mean, talk about the Major League Baseball making a statement. Talk about them making sure that nobody's going to cheat moving forward, because why would you? Why would you cheat moving forward when you're the Houston Astros and you got paid – you got paid. Some of these players got an incredible amount of money for their success because they knew the pitch that was coming. Altuve and MVP, they all got their World Series rings. They're all sitting in front of cameras, you know, giving their speeches of how hard they worked for this. You cheated. And what Major League Baseball do about it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So why this bothers me with the Red Sox situation, what's different about it? When I say what's different about it, they threw everything on this 30, 31-year-old replay operator and said, yeah, you know what? Why don't we throw him under the bus? Everybody else good? Red Sox, you good? Okay, let's keep this story down, huh? Because, you know, the media is going to run with it today. They're going to run with it tomorrow. But then the NFL draft's going to come. Then maybe a report comes out from the NBA saying, hey, here's some ideas of where we're going to play the rest of our season. And everything will just quiet down. You can do that. And that's what Major League Baseball is doing. But I'm telling you, you will lose respect from a lot of fans and you lose the trust from a lot of fans. And I know for me, and I'll continue to say this, NBA is my favorite sport. No question about it, NBA is my favorite sport. Baseball looks stupid. They honestly look stupid right now. I want to read off a couple tweets. And if you're a Dodger fan out there and you know you have thoughts on this, you want to express your opinion, express it. Now's the perfect time to do it. How do you feel about today's news on the Red Sox, and do you trust Major League Baseball? 877-710-ESPN. I'll read off a couple tweets here. So, at JER618, nope. Through piece of metal, words followed by inaction. Manfred gave green light to all future cheaters. Feel deeply sorry for MLB fans and proud and grateful to be an NBA fan under Silver. MLB fans deserve better. Well, we throw a little like on that one. You know, it's funny because my account, when I started doing my shows, it's obviously all around Lakers. So now I'm just starting to tweet about things that are just relevant predominantly to LA or I have an opinion on. So my question to LA or to everybody on Twitter was, do you trust Major League Baseball? I know what the answer is going to be, but I want some reasons of how you feel. Lakers 310 says no. They had a chance to make a statement twice and they failed to do so. First steroids, now this. Sign stealing is part of the game. Everyone does it. Is he put that in quotations there? But what isn't part of the game is setting up technology in your center in center field to know what pitch is going to be coming. So the best thing I think that that a couple of the tweets that I got that I feel like there's a theme to it. This is the theme. It's this simple. The theme is, why wouldn't another team cheat down the road? You know, if you went and robbed a bank tomorrow and you didn't get in trouble for it, then you're probably going to go rob a bank again. And that's the issue with Major League Baseball. The biggest issue with Major League Baseball is they didn't send no message. Nobody got this message where they now feel okay, we got to really, really watch what we do. That will never happen again. How stupid was that of all of us? They got paid and they got World Series rings. And unfortunately for Dodger fans, they were in the middle of two scandals going on in baseball, two cheating scandals going on in baseball. And I don't care if people say, well, that wouldn't have affected the Boston Red Sox series. You don't know that. You don't know what could have happened in the regular season. And the Astros series, there's no conversation to be had. We know that would have affected the 2017 World Series. So at least the results of the World Series. Maybe it would have been the Yankees and the Dodgers playing in a 7-game set rather than the Houston Astros. So complete BS. But there is Major League Baseball for you. So I hope you're proud of that product out there. Rich Hammond, staff editor and Rams beat writer for The Athletic. He's coming up here at 7:00. So it's a big couple of days coming up here for the Rams and the Chargers. It really is. If you look at it, let me start with the Chargers first. And I'm just going to name off all the different picks that they have right now, okay? Chargers got the number 6 pick, number 37, number 71, 112, 151, 186, and 220. Basically one pick in each round. Okay? So that's how the Chargers are set up. And I mentioned this yesterday, and you know, we know that there aren't many Charger fans in Los Angeles, and I'm sorry for the 3 or 4 that are out there that get upset when I say it, but honestly, there aren't that many Charger fans. It's a very key draft for them. Are they going to make some type of a splash? I said this yesterday. Tua seems like a star player that might turn some heads. Tua might be that guy that can help the Los Angeles Chargers, at least when you think of the Chargers, you think of a player you can reference to and say, that's a bad man and he's representing LA or he's representing the Chargers. For the Rams, this is their draft position. Two picks in the second round, So number 52 and number 57, two picks in the third round. They have one in the fourth, a pick in the sixth round, and a pick in the seventh round. So one pick in the fourth, sixth, and seventh round. So that's how the Rams look. At this point, you know, as of right now, nothing in the first round. You know, they traded their 2020 and 2021 first round picks when they got Jalen Ramsey. So this is also key for the Rams. Rams go 9-7 last year, and this is going to be great. When I talked to Rich Hammond, is he got a chance. They've been doing a lot of these Q&As with The Athletic. So a lot of different fans, you know, chime in on this stuff, and they want to give their opinion or their questions or their thoughts. I got my own questions. You know, what are the priorities going to be for the Rams going into the draft, where there could be a number of different priorities? How big is it to get somebody to, I don't know, replace Todd Gurley, but another running back that you can depend on? There's less need. Is this a draft where he tries to be aggressive and he moves up in the draft, or it's better to have a stockpile of them? So we got a number of different questions that we'll ask Rich Hammond. I want to read this off too. So last week we did this. We mentioned, or the last 2 weeks we've been doing that senior shout out. So this is what we're doing now moving forward. So during these challenging times, 710 ESPN is here for you. We like to spread the word and promote any local businesses who are hiring and looking for a workforce right now, or looking for a workforce right away. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, and let us know if your local business is hiring and how they can apply. We'll help spread the word. Okay, but before we go to Rich, Curtis, just get your thoughts here. How heated do you think Jesse is about the Boston Red Sox and Major League Baseball? Just your opinion, Curtis.
I hear him yelling in my ear right now. I can hear him. I don't even have my headphones in, and I can hear him yelling from his house.
Jess, what a bunch of crock. Like, what a bunch of BS. That's what they came up with. That whole investigation, that's what they're left with.
I'm just trying
Is that
to,
not unreal?
I'm just trying to take it one word at a time right now. Trying to be cool, calm, and collected.
Because we're live on the radio, man. Definitely watch every word. I need
Mason to hook me up with whatever he got so I can calm down. Because
you don't
got
to go to Mace. Curtis has it. Curtis is his dealer.
Oh, Curtis, send it over. It's Curtis. That's why Mason puts Curtis all so the time.
Curtis, he's trying to get discounts. Mason's trying to get discounts.
It's making sense now.
Wow. Okay, listen.
I would have
listen,
a lot
Jez.
More money if I was in that.
Jez, a little bit later, gather your thoughts. And let's talk a little bit about it. Let's do Rich Hammond, staff editor and Rams beat writer for The Athletic. He's coming up next. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Rich Hammond, staff editor and Rams beat writer for The Athletic, joining the show. Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing okay. You know, it's going to be a interesting couple of days. I think everybody's curious to see not just the actual draft, but how it's all going to work out. I'm sure there's going to be things that we all learn in this virtual draft and this virtual world that we're trying to live in. But I'll start off with this. What do you anticipate? I'm sure there's a number of priorities right now for the Rams. What do you think are I guess you could say, leading the charge, some of the top priorities right now?
Yeah, it's very intriguing as far as the Rams go, because they have a number of ways they can go. None of them really stand out above the other. I mean, there's not a glaring position where you go, that's obviously where they're going to go with their first pick. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick, so they're going to be sitting and waiting probably until number 52, unless they make some type of move. So you look at that, and it really ends up depending on what happens in the first round, what happens in the top 50. We're hearing now that, you know, there might be a run on offensive linemen, especially tackles. If they go early, then that influences what the Rams do. Are there top-tier running backs there? Are there top-tier inside linebackers. I think those are three positions that you could look at for the Rams that seem to be the most need for me. But there's others you could look at. You can look at edge rusher. They need some depth there. You can look at receiver because they just traded Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. You can look in the secondary where they have some depth issues. So, again, there's no glaring issue to me, but there are so many where it would make sense for them to add somebody in the second round.
Rich, do you think they would consider moving up at all? And I just say that, Les Snead has obviously traded up before, 2016, traded up to get right. Jared Goff at number one. And I know that's incredibly aggressive, but here they are sitting back at 52. You think it's because of all those different priorities that you mentioned, is it better to have, a number of picks, two second rounders, a couple picks in the third round? Because, in the NFL, it's not uncommon to grab guys later in the draft or a few rounds in and they become premier players on your team.
Yeah, Les Snead is never shy with this sort of thing. I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, they literally traded every draft pick that they had. They ended up in a different spot in every round. So you could expect something. I don't know exactly what it is. To have them be sitting there at 52 and 57, yeah, that's kind of a prime situation where you would say, well, maybe you package those and move up a little bit. But for the reason that you're saying there, I don't really think so. Because if anything, I think you maybe take one of those picks and move back. Maybe you draft at 52 and then you take that 57 pick, send it somewhere else, move down a little bit, pick up another fourth rounder or something like that. Just for the reason that we've been talking about here, you have so many different positions where you can add, especially on that defensive side where you need so much depth at so many positions. I don't really see them taking a smaller number of players. If anything, I would see them dropping back and maybe adding another third rounder or a fourth rounder or something like that.
Rich Hammond, staff editor and Rams beat writer for The Athletic, joining the Sliwa show. Rich, do you think there's – I don't know if premature is the right way to put this, but how much pressure do you think is on Les Snead this year? How much pressure do you think is on Sean McVay? Do you think there's pressure there or not really? They're – obviously, you've had success over the last couple of years. Last year was a disappointment, going 9-7 and not making the postseason. But right. Do you feel like there's pressure on the front office, pressure on the coaching staff, or do you feel like that's not the case?
I think there's always some. I don't think you would rise to the level of like a hot seat or where they have to, have 10 wins or 11 wins or something like that. In part, and this is going to sound like I'm kind of punting the question, but in part because I don't think this is going to be a normal year. I mean, we don't know exactly what – nobody has any idea what's going to happen in terms of our training camps going to open in July? Is the season going to start in September? Is it going to be 16 games, 14, 12? We just don't know. And so to say that these guys are going to be judged or like this is the final judgment if you don't have a successful 2020, I'm sure some teams might look at it like that, but I think that's a little bit of, that's not probably the way you should look at it going in because it's already unpredictable. We already don't have an off-season program, which would have started 2 days ago. So that they're behind the curve on that. They're not getting the guys in the building for training. They're not getting their physicals taken. So this is already an unusual type of off-season, and I fear predict that it's probably only going to get more unusual. So to sit there and say, this is a make or break year for them, I don't agree. I think what you would say is they've got to start hitting on some of these roster moves that they make. They had a very, very high percentage in 2017 and 2018 in terms of those moves working out, those trades, those free agent signings, draft picks. And then it dipped in 2019. There's no question about it. So like any GM, you got to get back on the right side of those things, because if you start falling behind the curve, that's when you get yourself in trouble.
Rich, it's interesting because, you mentioned obviously so many, we have no idea, like you said, we don't know when the season's going to start. Here we are doing a virtual draft starting tomorrow. More questions than answers. Let's put it that way. What are your thoughts of just, do you think it's more common now, and this is just, an assumption, Do you think it's a greater likelihood at this point where we thought the NFL was in a good position and, you know what, they're not going to start their season until August, September. So they're not like Major League Baseball or the NBA or NHL that were right either in the middle of a season or about to start like Major League Baseball. We thought maybe football would be isolated. Do you not feel that way where maybe you felt 30 days ago or something along those lines? You think it will be more of a challenge as we get closer to the season starting?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I still feel okay about it because there's still so much runway. I mean, there's really, you can look at the off-season program and say, you know, that's a valuable thing, but you can go without the off-season program. There's nothing that's really going to impact games or anything like that. But what you're really looking at is the start of training camp, which would be the last week of July when guys start to show up. So that's 3 months off. So yeah, who knows? I mean, we don't even know what this week is going to look like, let alone 3 months from now. So I still feel okay about that in terms of a possibility. The thing that I feel less positive about maybe is, you know, you're talking about some of these sports that are talking about coming back, especially I'd say basketball. You know, I mean, I've been around basketball. What are you talking about? You're talking about 12 players per team, a couple coaches, handful of staffers, that sort of thing. It's fairly easy to envision a scenario where you could do that. You could put together a basketball game with a limited number of people. Football, you're talking about 50, 60 players per side. You're talking about a crew of officials, people who have to run the chains, the equipment, everything else. I mean, you're talking about a substantial number of people who have to be involved in running a football game. So if we're still at a point, even if there's a point where we can have sports without fans, if we're still, you know, worried about having that large number of people together, then I think the NFL is probably in worse position than any other sports just because of the numbers involved.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Rich Hammond, Rams beat writer for The Athletic. No, listen, it's one thing to have golf, right? It's one thing to have tennis. It's one thing to, like you mentioned, even basketball, to conduct right. Sports like that and get those back. But the NFL, that's a different beast. And that's going to be, you know, most definitely that's going to be a challenge. And hopefully by the time we get closer to that, there's more that the country and the world has control of COVID-19. We'll have to, you know, obviously just wait and see. Rich, do you think there was an overreaction on the Rams logo from fans, or do you think that's real? No, there's a lot of fans are not happy with the way it looks.
Well, I'll tell you this. I wouldn't go so much into overreaction. That's hard to say. But I did a fan poll on The Athletic just this past week, and one of the questions was, what do you think of the primary logo I gave?
I'm very curious. Options. Very curious.
Yeah, so this is interesting, though, because the options were, one of them was, it looks terrible. One of them was, it's okay, but I wouldn't buy the merchandise. One of them was, it's great. And then I think I said, no opinion. So I had people vote, right? And then I went on Twitter and I said, what do you think the results are going to be? Just asking fans, like, what do you think is going to be the percentage of people who said, it looks terrible? And I got to say, the majority of the responses were 80% or higher. It's going to be 80%, 85, 90, 95. The actual number was 60 that said it looks terrible.
Okay.
So you can look at that two ways. You can say, that's not great. 60% of people saying that your logo is not great, is bad, is not great. But it's also not 80%, and it's also not 90%. So I think what we run into a little bit here is, you know, the people who are kind of the angriest, obviously, are the loudest. So you hear more from them. Am I surprised by it? No, not really. I mean, I understand what people are saying. I understand that the whole, you know, draft hat that got leaked really kind of poisoned the well for some people. And then a lot of people just don't like rebrands. I mean, how many times have we seen it? You know, when the Clippers redid theirs, that one got mocked. You know, anytime, I'm sure you know, when, you know, the Lakers changed their wear a new jersey or something, like that becomes a whole big deal where it's a lightning rod. So part of it is expected, but I you know, overall, I certainly don't think you would say that the numbers or the percentages are what the Rams would want.
What, just out of curiosity, what percentage did you say? So 60% thought it was terrible. What percentage said they wouldn't buy the They it's not that bad, right, but they're not going to buy the merchandise.
Right. I see where you're going here. And that was 28%, which is also very bad news, because then you're looking that you put those two together and you say 88% of those people wouldn't buy your gear.
That would be the concern. You know what I mean? Like,
concern. Yeah, that's the concern. So I'll tell you what, though, what I think might happen is because there's the other logo, there's the alternate one, kind of the ram head one. That one is more popular. So I'm going to be very curious over whether it's, you know, months or maybe even a year or two, kind of how that goes. Like, you know, do we see a lot more people wearing that one? And if we do, do the Rams kind of adjust and be like, all right, clearly that one is more popular. So maybe we start to go in that direction. I don't know. I think that'll be fascinating to see.
Rich, final question I have. Obviously, we're talking local football, and I know we're focused on the Rams right now, but Chargers have a very important pick at number six. I've kind of made the case here that they have such a challenge here in L.A. The L.A. Times did a poll. It was actually, I'm sorry, Loyola Marymount did a poll. L.A. Times published it, and it was, who's your favorite team in Los Angeles? And the Chargers were 1.2%. And listen, I'm a firm believer they're going to have an uphill climb in this market for a long time, and it doesn't really matter how good they are, but we'll see what happens. At number six, what do you think they do to address – I would say one thing, it's the football side of things. The other part of it is also the marketing side of things. How do you think they approach it? And just your opinion on what you think they should do at number six if a certain player is there that you think would be wise to take.
Yeah, you know, for all of those reasons that you just mentioned, I think a quarterback is the way to go. I mean, I don't know who's going to end up being there. There's all kinds of chatter about who's going to trade where and who's interested in who, you know, where's Tua going to go? Is he healthy? That sort of thing. But Chargers are presented with a rare opportunity here that not teams don't get very often. They're presented with a chance to take a quarterback, a top six quarterback. So clearly, you know, one of the two or three best, and somebody, potentially Tua, if he's there, who's really going to make people excited. I mean, if you're on the fence about the Chargers, if you're not sure whether you're going to watch them or buy a hat or buy a ticket or something, you might go just to see Tua. Okay. Now, I think there's a danger there. You don't want to start making football decisions just because the guy is popular. That's not a good thing to do. But if you feel confident in him as a player, then everything lines up. I mean, that's a guy you can build around for the next, you know, 10 years maybe. He's a personable guy, real popular. He's a young attraction to bring fans to your stadium. And you get a guy like that, you know, when you have a chance to get a guy, a quarterback, on a rookie contract like that, you take advantage of it. Those are the teams that have that success. Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, the Rams with Jared Goff when they made the Super Bowl. That's kind of your time to strike. So I think all of this lines up pretty well for them to get that quarterback of the future. It's just really a matter of who goes in that top five, and maybe it's a matter of how confident do you feel in Tua's health.
Rich, I'm with you, man. I've been kind of preaching this one, and I 100% agree with you. At the end of the day, you can't grab somebody from a marketing perspective. If you have a product on the field, typically that's supposed to be enough to get fans in the seats and get people interested, even though I think for the Chargers it is a different story and it's going to be a challenge. But damn, if you could potentially kill two birds with one stone with Tua. Maybe they're able to do that. Maybe he's not even on the board, but I definitely want to get your thoughts on that. Rich, great stuff, man. Great intel, and I appreciate you taking some time. I know you're going to be busy over these next couple of days with the Rams, but let's definitely catch up again soon after the draft.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks.
All right. Great stuff there from Rich Hammond. I got to make mention of this, and I know everybody already knows this, but don't miss episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance on April 26th at 6 p.m. on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you missed episodes 1 and 2, you can stream them now with at ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. I'll do this little post thing that I do with George Sedano. We'll do it for all the episodes. Still have 8 episodes left. and they'll be playing over the next 4 weeks. So 3-4 coming up this Sunday. Okay, much more about the NFL. Much more Roger Goodell on the virtual draft. He was on with Mike Greenberg earlier today on Get Up, so I want to play some of that. And Ryan Russillo was on the Sedano show. He had some thoughts on what the Chargers should do at number 6. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, great stuff from Rich Hammond. Not looking good right now, Laker fans. ESPN is airing the 2008 Lakers loss to the Boston Celtics. Game 6 right now. Celtics on a run. Posey's hitting threes. Eddie House is hitting threes. What are we doing on defense? Redmanovic, guard somebody. All right, sorry, I had to get that off my chest. Anytime you have these games in the background, now all of a sudden you're like watching all the details. I'm like, Farmer, make a move to the basket. Somebody play some defense. Lakers are down 14. Still 5:20 to go in the second quarter. That Boston Celtics team, by the way, was incredibly annoying. Paul Pierce was incredibly annoying his entire career, but even more annoying in this specific series. So I want to hit on this because with the draft coming up tomorrow, Kirk Morrison, by the way, him and I, Thursday and Friday. So tomorrow and Friday, we'll kind of break everything down, which will be cool. I mean, think about tomorrow. You got so many big names. And one of the names that I keep talking about and I keep mentioning, you heard Rich Hammond talk about it as well. You don't grab players because they're good for marketing. You grab players because you feel like they can help you win a Super Bowl or an NBA championship or a World Series. Or they can maybe help you cheat to win a World Series if the Houston Astros, very strategically. But I think in this case for the Chargers, Tua Tagovailoa, is if he's available, and I keep referencing this, if he's available, that's the guy you go get. You know, LA is so accustomed to stars. Lakers, I don't have to go through the list for the Lakers. We already know it, right? AD and LeBron, that's star status. That's top five in the league. Dodgers have them. Bellinger, Betts, Kershaw. I mean, they have many stars. You could throw Justin Turner in the mix there too. Rams have a couple, but they need more. When I say a couple, you're like, all right, is Jared Goff a star? No, he's got to prove he's worth $134 million. But Aaron Donald is a star. Galaxy has a star. LAFC has a star. Angels have Mike Trout. Clippers, the freaking Clippers, have two stars. Actually, they have one star. They have Kawhi Leonard, who's a star, and Paul George, you know, he's not too far in the background. Who's the Chargers star? They don't have a star. The Ringer's Ryan Russillo was on the Sedano show a little bit earlier this morning. So Sedano did a show with Mona Shelburne. I do want to play this because Russillo is saying that if Tua was healthy, he should not be in the discussion at a number 6 pick where the Chargers are. He thinks he'd actually be better than that.
I love Tua. Had he been healthy, I liked him better than Burrow. And, you know, I went to 5 LSU games this year. Okay. Ooh. So I was there for Burrow and Tua. And even though LSU was putting it on him, like watching it in person again, I was like, man, Tua is just something else. You know, being at these facilities and asking guys like what they see, what they saw, and the manipulation from Tua, the way he looks at safeties down the field. And he's doing this as a college kid, going the stuff he does to mess with defenders with his eyes and where he checks people off and makes throws that you don't even think he was even paying attention to. Like this is next level stuff that NFL guys aren't doing. Herbert, we all understand his athleticism, the arm, but if you watched all those Oregon games, despite the really good team season they had, there were a lot of underwhelming stretches where you're like, all right, where's this going? To me, there's no comparison of the two guys.
So here's the thing. He may not even be on the board, but if he is on the board, I have continued to emphasize that's who they should take. That's who the Chargers should take. Mel Kiper does his mock draft. You know, I have my mock draft that 710 just put out. Let's just say me and Mel Kiper spent hours on the phone together. I mean, I can't tell you how much time me and Kiper spent on putting this thing together. How many times the guy texts me, hey, Sliwa, what do you think at number 4? And I have to throw in some offensive tackle out of Georgia, right? So, okay, here's the reality. Kiper's a genius when it comes to the draft, but I'm looking at his mock draft. He still has Tua going 6, and if that, you know, obviously happens, the Chargers can take advantage of that. One of the things Rasulo mentioned as well, and I want to point this out as well, that the quarterback position, that health shouldn't completely scare the Chargers away. Here's Rasulo again this morning with Sedano. Ramona Shelburne was on the show as well.
I did this thing for the Ringer where I went through 20 years with a first-round quarterback. So we're talking a big number here. Over 50% of them are, like, unquestionable busts. Like, first-rounders bust at more than 50%. And I was being nice. Could have bumped it up even higher if I wanted to be. So if you're telling me, and I don't even think, it wasn't really like, hey, let's blame all the GMs, you guys are idiots. I'm just saying this position is that hard to project. It just is. Like, whatever we do, all the things we put emphasis on, it doesn't always work out. Like, it doesn't matter if a guy has a huge arm. It doesn't matter if a guy's a great athlete. You're trying to figure out what kind of decisions this guy will make in chaos on Sundays, and it's just really hard. And the numbers prove that these guys just miss out. So if you're going to tell me it's a less than 50% success rate on even picking these guys, I'm going to pick the guy, Tua, who I think has been a better quarterback, even if I'm worried that his health isn't the same as Herbert.
All right, that's great stuff from this morning with Sedano and Ramona Shelburne with Ryan Rasulo. So Roger Goodell was on GetUp, Mike Greenberg, and they had a long conversation and had an opportunity to hear from a commissioner that has gone, you could say, kind of a little bit different of a route during this COVID-19 pandemic. I think he got criticized because of free agency, but they went ahead and did it. And I think it turned out pretty good, right? I think there was a lot of conversation about all the different teams that were making moves, trades that were going on. And now we sit here where there was a lot of criticism, and I criticized too. I said, well, why are you guys having the NFL draft? And the reason and the point that the NFL kept making when it came to the NFL draft was, well, what's going to change in 30 days? We don't know if anything's going to change. We might as well do it now. We'll just do it virtually. So here's Roger Goodell. I do want to play when he's on with Mike Greenberg on GetUp. The concerns for the virtual draft, what are some of those concerns and the reason why they decided, well, we'll take our chances?
The first objective for us always is to make sure this goes well for the clubs operationally. This is an important element of their football operation schedule. They're obviously making basically final determinations on roster spots by adding the new prospects. So this is a big day for the clubs and the big 3 days for the clubs. So we need to make sure that we obviously perform on that level. But then there's a great deal of being able to give our fans insight into how people are working at home, how people are communicating with one another. And frankly, we think this is a great day and a great opportunity for us to take our platform and to pay tribute to the heroes that have been on the front line over the last couple of months doing the incredible work, and also using it as an opportunity for the draft-a-thon so that we can generate some much-needed funds for the people who really need it right now.
All right, so the NFL trying to, take advantage of a couple things like he mentioned there. You heard Goodell. They're trying to raise some funds. At the same time, look, don't think twice. This is a business, and the owners of the NFL, including the commissioner, think that it's an incredible opportunity. You got everybody at home. We're all quarantined. We don't have a choice. Everybody's at home. There's no other sports going on. NFL is already big as it is. So these next 2 days are going to be humongous for the NFL through the weekend. And then it's going to leak into next week where everybody's talking about these draft picks, where they end up going. So it is an incredible opportunity for the NFL. He also got into, and I think this is as we look at, as we look at the upcoming season, we got a lot of question marks. There's an incredible amount of questions. Most important thing that has to happen to get players back on the field. Here's Roger Goodell with Mike Greenberg on GetUp.
Well, I think it starts with safety. So that's number one for us, and it's number two and three. So our medical teams are talking and obviously working with all the experts. So that will be number one for us. But, one of the things I've learned, Mike, is you got to make decisions with the facts that you have. People who project where we're going to be, 2 weeks from now, much less 3 months from now, it's speculative still. We don't know. And I think, I don't like to engage in the speculation business. I like to deal with facts. So what we're focused on right now is making sure we proceed, make sure we look at our facilities. As you know, all of our facilities are closed, team facilities. That's one of the reasons we're doing this from home. Next focus will be within, obviously, the state regulations as we reopen the economy. We're working with the government to try to make sure we reopen those facilities in the safe and the appropriate way, and we will continue to do that. So that's our really our next level of focus once we get through the draft.
So a little bit earlier in the show, I talked about how I'm not a crazy Goodell fan, but he's sitting here on GetUp and he's explaining exactly his thought process on everything, so I'm curious about it. He did have a thought on the NFL season playing on time. We're going to do that when we come back. So stay right here. Currently right now, Lakers down 49-34. Farmar, swing the ball. Farmar taking an ill-advised turnovers. Here it is. Ray Allen steals the ball. Lakers down 15. 2 minutes, 40 seconds left to go. ESPN is airing Game 6 of 2008. You know what, Celtics? Enjoy this one. We got it back in 2010. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.